Paul, you're going to be facing a Minnesota team that's coming in tomorrow. Obviously, has some tough times as of late, some injury issues. So what are you expecting to see from maybe a desperate Wild team?
Oh, we never would plan for anything less than a team's best. We went in there and it was a hard-fought game. As so many of those Central games, it really didn't matter, even going back 3 or 4 years ago, where a team was at in the standings. It seemed like a one-goal game and a lot of heavy hitting. We found that in there. The two games that I think we've played this year that have had a little bit of an edge, a special edge to them, were in Nashville and in Minnesota. Because of the playoff rivalry. So I don't think those games are easy for both teams to get up for. It's easy for teams, whether you're struggling or not, to get just focused on that game. So they'll be at their best tomorrow.
Just on the bigger picture of the Central Division, you very wisely predicted a few weeks ago that we were going to see Chicago and St. Louis start to put together some wins, that you said they had just had too many veterans and proud guys in that room. What maybe we didn't expect is there's a lot of teams in the Central, Minnesota, one of them, Nashville, that seem to be at least slipping a little bit here lately. Is that just the way it goes in the course of an 82-game season that's going to be cyclical like that, as opposed to some wider trend about the division as a whole?
When you go back and look at the story of each team over the course of the year, there's going to be stretches. You do everything you can to make sure that they're not long stretches where you're struggling. I think, you know, when you go back to the first game of the year, we win in St. Louis, but Connor's our best player by far. It's a good hockey team. And you know, listen, I spend my entire day years trying to figure out my own hockey team and wouldn't presume to understand anybody else's, but there's too many veteran players on those teams that just can't suffer through that. They find a way, and sometimes the negative stretch is long enough in some ways the pressure comes off them, because both those teams found themselves with a huge gap to the eighth seed. So you felt they were going to play. I think it's true of the LA Kings based on the game that they beat us. I believe they won three in a row, and they've got their game in order. So it's a Central Division story. I think they're just all good teams that are capable of winning, and they had a bit of a tough patch, but that won't be their year.
And I guess that's why it's important that when you do have a loss or two, not to let them bleed into multi-games. And you guys have been very good at that and not having any losing streak extend beyond a couple games.
We've been fairly consistent in that. I think we've been able to bounce back on after tough nights, or I think a number of our losses, and I might include last night in this. Well, there was just enough good in that game that you didn't feel it was one of those one-offs that you don't talk about. That is in everybody's year. They have one of those. They never look at the game tape again. But you know, I'm thinking about the St. Louis game at home here, 1-0. We were good in that game, and I felt that way in Toronto as well, and not as much last night. I'd like to think that some of it had to do with the four-day break for both teams. I mean, the number of seam chances that we got, it's in the top four or five during the year. I'm not bragging about the game by any means, but in our losses, I would say the first period in Calgary. Other than that, this year we've had enough right there.
Talk about the game ramping up at various points of the year. Is that something that you've been seeing in terms of teams playing better defensively, in terms of their structure, in terms of the offense that is maybe being limited?
I think what happens to teams, they get forced into a position where defense has to become a priority for their game. So you get teams that are on a roll, that are scoring an awful lot of goals. It takes them longer before the pressure comes and they realize that it gets closer to playoff hockey, where there's not as much offense to be easily had. And then teams that find themselves at the Thanksgiving and they're 4 or 5 points behind, they start playing that style of game. So that's, you know, where we're trying to get to, and it's the conversation that we're having in our locker room is just that we've got to find a way to strive for it when we're not necessarily bigger picture under the pressure to do it. Where we are each night, you're going to be under the pressure to do it. I think when the season starts to, when that, the sooner you get really afraid of missing the playoffs, the better defensively you play.
Connor Hellebuck expressed a concern for crease crashing. Have you noticed that as a trend in recent weeks?
No, but I think you're going to expect it. I mean, it's players will always make the adjustments to their game. It's not necessarily even a conscious thing. Hey, let's drive the net on goalies. But as the threshold of contact that's been allowed has changed slightly, that may be argued, just this is anecdotal from watching the reviewed goals, it seems like they're allowing for a little bit more contact in there. You're just going to see more contact.
What was your reaction to the fine on Bufflin for the slash?
It was a slash. I'm fine with it. There's no pun intended.
Crease crashing we talk about, is there a way to discourage it? Do you guys need to react more strongly when it happens? Or?
Well, the first thought is that you let the people that get paid to do that deal with it. The officials can clean that up. And for the most part, I think we've taken, I think you find that they'll be able to, and then you're going to see a few goalie interference penalties will come in and they'll knock it down a little bit. But if we felt it was a trend, I think we have enough big men back there that can discourage it.
When I think of the structure of the Winnipeg Jets game, and you don't have to agree with this, but I think of a really aggressive forecheck and defenseman pitching aggressively, centers coming back or forwards coming back, such that you're playing defense pretty aggressively up the ice. And in the course of the season, I imagine that ebbs and flows, or you're trying to ramp it up for the key time of the year. How do you feel about the shape of that game at this point of the season so far?
I'm just okay with it. I think we didn't start well with it. I think we had the pinches. I think we had the aggressiveness. I'm not sure that we had the right fills by our forwards, and then we got much better at it for about 6 weeks, going back into mid-November to up until last night. There were, I think, five where I thought we were late on fills. Where we're at now with our game, we had a run, and you guys will know, I think we scored 27 in five games. We had a run, and we started hitting the seams, and we started scoring goals off it, thinking of Nicky Ehlers a number of times. And then you get into that game last night, and we have six A-seam chances. And then that starts to bleed into your style of offense. You're looking for that more and more. And you can understand it because it's been successful. And when that happens, you end up on the perimeter a little bit more. When the perimeter, when your forwards are playing on the perimeter, the D will drive the middle ice more. Looks good when it's good. Doesn't look very good when it's not. So I'm okay with it, with where we're at with it. I have been almost solely focused on our defensive metrics for almost 2 months now. I think that's the area that we can improve the most. It's also the area that you're looking for the most growth from a young team. Very few of these players. And I mean, Josh Morrissey may be an exception. Adam Lowry might be an exception. Brandon Tanev didn't come into the league as a young, necessarily young guy, but just about everybody else in our lineup came into the league as a shooter or a playmaker, an offensive player. Understanding the defensive game wouldn't have held much sway. It wouldn't have been something that was important to them, but the National Hockey League has to. So that's the area for a really young team that we're constantly trying to get better at.
You say that you're focusing on the defensive side of the game quite specifically at this point. What's the road to improve that and get that to where you want it to be?
So it ties back into the phrasing of your first question. How do you believe you should defend? And we would defend with a hard gap game and an aggressive game, and we like to defend from the far end back. So when there's a 50-50 puck, if your forwards are where they're positioning themselves, tells you a lot about how they think, and offensive forwards will find a hole. Problem with that is if you lose the 50-50 puck, you're not in the right hole. We're also not sitting back. So I'll give you a better idea. Like neutral zone turnovers. If you look on a percentage basis of pucks turned over in the neutral zone, you take a look at the top eight teams, and you say that's great. They never turn a puck over in the neutral zone. None of those top eight teams are in the playoffs, right? So dumping the puck is not a every single time. Never turning the puck, you got to make plays. Now, there's also a threshold with that. I think we're sitting about 23rd on that, but Tampa's sitting 24th. So there's plays to be made, making the right kind of turnovers. That's the same concept as defense. We're not going to sit back and not play with the puck. That's our strength. But when we don't have it, we will continue to work on learning how to quickly close those gaps, quickly make those reads a little bit quicker so that we can keep our offensive game but not give anything up.
Making those plays, taking those chances in the neutral zone, I guess that I've heard you use the term before, you know, you lose the puck, it's that willingness to go get it back. Is that where that becomes important in the confidence to try to make those plays that you're talking about that may get turned over, but
so there's going to be two or three conditions to it being the right play, even if it's not the right result. So the other team gets paid too. They get good sticks. They knock it down. They defend well. But if there are the two or three things that we're looking for through the neutral zone, then you make your play. Certainly anything odd man, anything broken, we want to attack. And then off that, we want to put the puck into a position that we can still maintain our speed. Those would be things that we're looking for. I like our neutral zone defense much more. I think that would be the area of best improvement. Our low position was good up until probably our last two or three games. But for us, our challenge is the idea. If you're going to have an aggressive pinching team, an aggressive back end, then you're going to need at times your forwards to sacrifice something. That 50-50 puck, you've got to be on the defensive side of it a little more. And at the same time, we have to keep our defense in check, that it's not a free-for-all. We're not paying them to play forward.
You touched a little bit on this team's ability to bounce back when it loses games. Nick Ehlers called it a playoff mindset, in that, you know, you just have to throw everything you have at that next game so that you're not losing two in a row. Do you feel that the success this team's had this year has any bearing on lessons learned in the playoffs last year?
Well, usually what happens is the loss affords you to look at areas of your game that you can improve on. And rarely would we say, hey, we lost that game because we were too good defensively. So there's things that you want to address and find. I think we've done a good job of addressing where the faults were, where the piece of our game that can improve. And there are some benefits to make in the playoffs, so that they have in their memory what that game looked like, what it felt like. And then you can apply that more easily. It's not quite as hard to sell. You know, the playoff game is simple. It's very fast and it's very direct. And that's what all of the teams are trying to do, is make the playoffs. And when you get there, have a game that you can replicate.
So I remember last year Nashville went on a really long streak, and their coach had talked about by the end of that streak he could tell with like four or five wins left in that streak that they were trending in the wrong direction, things weren't going well. You guys have won a lot of games and put together, you know, really good stretches here. What is there that you guys are doing well that it's taking just that one loss to learn those lessons for them to buy in, to realize they needed to kind of double back defensively rather than it kind of getting out of control like we see happen so often with teams that are successful?
I would hope that, and this isn't a coaching thing, but the message really doesn't depart a whole lot. You'll hear the players say, he says the same things over and over again. And there'd be a reason for that. We're not lying to them. So that when we're off, we shouldn't be that far off our game. Or if we're stringing two or three in a row that we don't like, that we understand the reason why. So we weren't very good in San Jose or Vancouver, but we would understand the reason why. We took something different out of the game last night. We didn't pass it off as a post-Christmas game, but there's some truth to that for both teams. I mean, I wouldn't have traded our offense for theirs if you got the lineup, the chances, without knowing the end result. But just, you know, the one thing that we preach daily is that, you know, work your day, handle your day. Haven't gotten really too far ahead of ourselves, I don't think, and we've got an awful lot of work to do, so we've been able to keep a pretty solid focus.